peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Well, now, isn't that something? Peter goes to the house of a centurion, a Roman citizen, somebody who apparently is trying to live the right kind of life, doesn't know exactly what's going on with it, and he tells them a story. You might remember the background to this. Peter was hungry one day and had a dream while he was waiting for lunch to be prepared, just a little ways south of this, 20, 30 miles farther south. And he sees this vision of this big cloth coming down. And inside that cloth are all sorts of different creatures. And among them, I'm sure, there were pigs. And he comes down, or he sees it come down, and he hears a voice that says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." He says, "I've never touched anything unclean." "It's okay. What God says is okay to eat, you can eat." And he sees that three times, not really knowing what all of it means. But then there's the knock on the door, and there are some men who have come from Cornelius, a centurion, who says, "The centurion would like to see you." Well, when the official says, "I would like to see you," you go and you do what you're told. The Romans had power. You were not to fool around with what they had to say. So, Peter goes with them, and as he gets there, he says, "Yes, what can I do for you?" And Cornelius says, "I was told to send for you at the house of Simon the Tanner, and so I've sent for you. What do you have to say for yourself?" "Well, what are you supposed to say to about yourself or to somebody when a centurion says, 'You come and you talk'?" He says, "Well, the story I've been telling everybody else is about Jesus. You know about him." Centurions certainly knew what had happened under Pontius Pilate not very long ago. And so Peter starts telling the story. He tells the story about who Jesus was and what he did, how he went about doing good and healing people and casting out demons. You know, Peter wasn't supposed to be in his house. Jews didn't go in the houses of Gentiles. It was against their religion. They were not to be under the same roof with those who didn't worship their God. So Peter, first of all, he obeyed, but then he changed the way things were going, and he did something he wasn't supposed to do. Why, he went under the roof of someone who was unclean. Not just an unclean pig, but an unclean Roman. Well, that's the same thing, isn't it? If you weren't a Jew, you were a pig. The Jews were all lambs of God, but everybody else was a pig, an outsider, filthy, dirty, don't get around them. Oh, and how Jesus irritated people when he cast demons out of the Gerasene demoniac, when he healed the Syrophoenician woman's daughter. Those who were outside the kingdom, that's not to be done. Isn't religion private? Isn't this just for us? A little story just for us and everybody else stay away? Well, God had a little trick up his sleeve. He didn't just come to save the Jewish people, he came to save everybody. And now we get to find out about it. And so here's Peter telling a story. Telling a story not only about what Jesus did, but also what was done to him. He wasn't arguing. He wasn't throwing the Bible at them. He wasn't trying to put them down. He was giving witness. He was telling a story about something that had reshaped his life. This guy who three times said, "I don't even know that fella." And now here he is talking to centurions. He's talked to the religious leaders as well and been tossed in prison already. And here he is, and all he can say is, "I believe that Jesus is God, that he was sent by God to suffer and die for the sins of all people, and that's what I've been telling people." And as he is telling the story, the Holy Spirit falls on all of them and they become believers. Well, now we have to bracket this a little bit. Because the Holy Spirit first came on Adam and Eve, long before there was a Jewish people, a Hebrew nation, and God breathed life into them, intended that every human being would be live because of God being inside and would live forever and honor and praise God and take care of the creation. And when our first mom and dad said, "We're not interested in staying here under you," the spiritual relationship broke. Many of you would probably be happy if the story just went on already in the New Testament. We skipped all the rest of that Old Testament stuff and all of the confusing things there. We can go right from Genesis 3, right to the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit enters into human flesh again in Jesus Christ. Born of Mary, as the Spirit enters into Mary's womb and Jesus is conceived and born and does all the stuff that Peter says, none of which qualifies you to be crucified as a criminal. And so Cornelius is really being told, the outfit you work for really didn't help any, but God raised him up. And so this one who breathed the Spirit out on the cross and said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," is raised, as Peter says here, on the third day by God, a much higher authority than you answer to, Cornelius. He's not fighting about that. He is just stating the case. The God who created the universe wanted to deliver us from what's wrong inside that we can't run away from. And so that Spirit, breathed on human beings, brings the forgiveness of sins with it. Brings people back into a relationship with God, not because of what people do to climb up to God, but what God has done to climb down to us. And to take the worst punishment of any human who ever walked the planet so that we might go free. So that we might be delivered from our bullheadedness and our self-centeredness and our thoughts that we can somehow make life the way we want to make it, to settle us for all eternity. And Peter says, by the way, that's what happened. And as he's telling that story, the Holy Spirit that created Adam and Eve and breathed life into them, the Spirit that came down on Jesus, the Spirit that raised him from the dead, the Spirit comes onto all of those who are hearing. As the Spirit comes on every Christian, either when hearing that message of salvation and coming to faith, or even earlier in holy baptism when God gives the benefits of living within the name and power of this one who is Lord of all creation. And so the Christians, the Jewish Christians, said, whoa, look at what's going on here. Gentiles can become Christian too. The pigs can believe. The Jewish people thought, first, you have to become, if you're a pig, a Gentile, first you have to become Jewish. First you have to become a little lamb. Then you can become a Christian lamb. And now they find out. God says, no, you don't have to go through Judaism anymore. You go right back to Adam and Eve. And you find out that everyone born of Adam and Eve can be saved directly by the Spirit of God giving the benefits of what Jesus did. Everyone is surprised. Peter will later get in some trouble for this. Those back in Jerusalem will say, how come you baptized them? He says, well, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were acting just like Christians, and so we did what we do. We baptize into the name of Jesus, into the power of God, to assure them that God is holding on to them through the benefits of Jesus dying and rising. One very interesting phrase that Peter uses here: every human being is going to be judged by this man, Jesus Christ. Everyone is going to stand before him, before the judge. If you have never, ever gone 1 mile over the speed limit and you are a driver, raise your hand. When you stand before the judge who knows everything, are you guilty or innocent? Guilty. Of even something like a mile over? Has there been one time in your thoughts when you have said, God is not fair to me, he doesn't love me? Those of you who have never had that thought, raise your hand. We come before God as those who are guilty. And so the judge says, oh, I know you're guilty. I know you're guilty every day. I know there is a nature in you that can't love me and a nature in you that loves me completely. And I've washed the power of the other one away. When you stand before me, I am going to look at what is in your heart, that you have been touched by my grace and mercy, and you are at peace with me because I gave you that peace. And all I'm going to see is my holy, perfect existence in you. And I will judge you, worthy to be brought into my presence forever. That's what Cornelius and his family all heard. That's what the Ethiopian eunuch heard. That's what Philip, the jailer at Philippi would hear. That's what all of us hear. Saved, redeemed, made holy. Not because we're so smart that we figured it out, or we've read a lot of books, or we've done a lot of living, or we've got the right emotion, we love each other with everything we've got in our being. Standing before him, none of that will matter. What will matter is he says, I gave you eternal life. I restored to you the relationship with my Father through the Spirit that raised me from the dead. You are at peace. And thus, as we go forward, we are not going forward to try to show we're good. We go forward to to be able to brag. Tell the story. Say to people, here's why I'm at peace. Even though there's all sorts of things going on in my life, I'm at peace because God Almighty gave me eternal salvation. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will touch hearts. Always be touching the heart. Maybe not that someone will always hear it, but always touching the heart to open the hearts of people to know a peace that this world cannot give and that we can never figure out. And thus, as with so many other texts, it is to turn us away from ourselves, to turn us outside of ourselves and wondering about how we perform or what people might think about us, to give us the freedom and the joy of simply being able to say, we're going to live forever because of the grace and mercy of the God who laid himself onto the cross that we might come before him and live forever. And that's good news. That's the good news we live by. And just remember, we're the pigs. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.